Good morning and welcome to Central Standard. I'm Gina Kaufman. We have a fun show planned for today. In just a few minutes, we'll be joining some very sleepy local bartenders who participated in an event last night called Mixtapes and Mixology. Every participating cocktail maestro created an original drink inspired by a song by a local band. 12 songs, 12 drinks. And while 12 songs makes for a short mixtape, 12 drinks sounds dangerous. We'll be hearing about the results shortly. But first, it's time for our weekly Tell KCUR segment. The question we asked this week was, what is something Kansas City needs and why? Why don't you talk to me? Why don't you talk to me? I'm here with social media producer Allison Rawlitz, who joins us for this segment every week. Hi, Allison.
Hi, Gina.
Where did this question come from?
Well, actually, this question popped up a few weeks ago in June on Reddit. And this question, which someone just kind of threw out there, ended up generating more than 300 comments. And so we figured, hey, if this conversation was so lively on Reddit, let's take it to our Tell KCUR audience.
Tell me more about Reddit, because I'm not sure that everyone out there is familiar with this site.
Reddit is a social networking site, so it's kind of like Facebook and Twitter and Google Plus, but it's a little bit more bulletin board oriented. When you look at it, it kind of looks like an old school chat room from the 90s, and it really, really dings companies for posting their own content. So really, it's really kind of organic, and people are really driving the conversations. And there's lots of stuff there that you need to be careful if you're looking at it at work. It can be kind of fun content.
But Reddit does seem to be one of these really like love it or hate it kinds of things.
Definitely. And there's while there are a lot of conversations that women participate in, it's known for being a very, very male driven social media outlet.
That's interesting. Well, so what was the conversation like on Reddit, and how were the answers from KCUR listeners different?
Well, first off, the person that kind of threw out this question, what's something that Kansas City needs, started off with, hey, a bowling alley. We need a bowling alley. And then the questions really varied. Everything from we need a White Castle to a whole discussion on where Kansas City used to have a White Castle to we need more arcades and more kind of entertainment driven things.
And that's on Reddit.
That's on Reddit. And people there did chime in and mention things like public transportation and schools. But that area really seemed to dominate the KCUR conversation. There were a lot of people just kind of taking the lead and calling for better transit, everything from potentially realistic things like more bike lanes, more sidewalks, more bus routes, to even more grandiose ideas like calling for like underground subway systems or some sort of rail. People were critical and kind of praising the current streetcar line. Lisa on Facebook, she specifically asked for more direct flights out of KCI. And then this caller, Kanya of Olathe, she talks a little bit more about the need for commuter rail.
Kansas City really needs commuter rail from the Northland, from Olathe, just running every day from early to late. I would cut down on all the traffic on I-35 and would make my life a lot easier. And it would help the environment and our economy.
You
know, well, I like how she keeps going on.
Just one more thing. Yeah.
There also, and like I said, there was that schools conversation. Public transportation was closely followed by schools. And people generally were calling for the KCMO public school system. They wanted them to regain their accreditation status. But we had a few other items on that wish list. Like some people were specifically calling for more Montessori schools. And John on Facebook really wanted a top-tier, nationally recognized university in the metro area.
Well, what else did people talk about outside of transportation and school system stuff?
Sure, Gina. We had some more people mention infrastructure, like sewers. May not sound very exciting, but we had a lot of chatter about that. And there was a pretty big group of people asking for more regional cooperation, not necessarily a thing that you can ask for. But people specifically pointed to the state line as kind of a harmful dividing line in Kansas City. For instance, on Facebook, suggested the creation of a bi-state governmental agency that would actually have some teeth to kind of force the two sides of the state line to work together. And then Steve proposed that Kansas City, Missouri actually annex Johnson County to force us all to work together more. And
that would be a change.
Yeah, that would be a huge change. And this, I don't know, I just wanted to point this out, that this conversation comes as KCUR is really about to dive into the state line. And they're about to, with our ongoing series, Beyond Our Borders, we're about to really take a look at the state line for the next few months. And we really encourage anyone with story ideas to just shoot us an email at social@kcur.org.
Cool. Well, earlier you mentioned that on Reddit, a lot of the suggestions about what Kansas City needs were entertainment based, things people wanted for their own fun and recreation. Did we get any of that kind of response from our listeners?
We definitely did, even though a lot of it was dominated by transportation and schools. We did have a lot of people suggest other things, specifically museums, like children's museums. And one person really wants Kansas City to get a St. Louis style city museum. And we had a few shout outs for food based items, like people really wanted us to get an authentic Jewish deli, in quotes, and on Facebook. I'm just going to kind of end with this. This kind of shows the range and responses we got. Adam said that we really need, quote, good public schools south of the river and better bagels. Seriously, people, the bagel situation is pretty bleak here.
Bagels and schools. Well, there you have it. How can people continue this conversation if they still want to chime in, Allison?
We're getting a lot of comments on Twitter and Facebook, but if you still would like to chime in, we're still collecting feedback. Just tweet us with the TellKCUR hashtag.
Thanks so much. It's been a pleasure as always.
Thanks, Gina.
That was KCUR's social media producer, Allison Rollitz, for TellKCUR. Listen up for next week's question on the air or watch for it online. Speaking of new ideas for food and entertainment in Kansas City, it's time to talk about Mixtapes and Mixology, an event leading up to the Paris of the Plains Cocktail Festival next month. I'm joined in the studio by bartenders Caitlin Corcoran and Zach Snyder. Both spent last night serving up cocktails inspired by tracks from local bands. How are you guys feeling bright and early this morning?
Very well, thank you.
Great.
Zach Snyder, who won the competition, works at Justice Drugstore. So congratulations to you, Zach.
Thank you very much.
And Caitlin Corcoran works at Port Fonda. Caitlin, why don't you tell us about this event and just explain it for our listeners?
So this was the brainchild of Jonathan Bender from Recommended Daily and Brandon Cummings. They wanted a way to kind of kick off Paris of the Plains, which is a Kansas City Cocktail Week and bartending competition that happens in August. And so they paired randomly 12 different bands with 12 bartenders, and then we were asked to pick a track off the band's latest release and kind of make a cocktail using Pierre Ferrand cognac products based and inspired off of the track that we selected.
What was the scene like last night at the event where you revealed your cocktails?
It was really fun. A lot of people there. It was a lot of bands, actually. I was really surprised and happy with the turnout of the support of all the musicians that came out to try the cocktails. They were really excited to see what we came up with.
They wanted to taste their music.
Exactly. and then just a lot of supporters, people that I've seen at Paris of the Plains events before, but also just people that wanted to know kind of more about the cocktail scene in general.
Why combine music and booze in this particular way? Is not listening to good music with an arbitrary drink in hand good enough? What's special about making a drink inspired by a specific song?
I think this is just a way for us to be a little bit more creative. Most of the bartenders that I know participate in the event, when we come up with a cocktail, we think about the flavor first, like what flavors we want to get out of the cocktail. And so this was a way for us to have to think outside the box and use a totally different base starting point to create a tasty cocktail.
And Zach, what's your input on this? What do you think is special about this use of sound to inspire a taste?
You know, whenever I went to design my cocktail, I got the Kansas City Bear Fighters. And so I started by trying to define what I thought their sound was. and coming up with an idea with that, then to take cocktails from the eras of which I felt their sound represented and represent those eras of in a cocktail.
What an interesting project. Well, a lot of people probably think of bartending as primarily a service and hospitality role, maybe with a little bit of a psychotherapy role tied in there. But what you're talking about with these drinks really emphasizes the creative aspect of developing the cocktails. So tell me more about what usually inspires the drinks you make.
Well, that all depends upon a lot of different factors. That could be a new product that comes out that I really enjoy and I just want to find the way to use it best and highlight it best. Other times it could be a certain mood that I'm trying to capture or a new technique that I'm trying to use, that I will try to develop a cocktail around that just to highlight whatever said thing as best as I can.
And what about you, Caitlin?
I mean, since I work at Port Fonda and we're an agave-based bar and Mexican restaurant, I really try and look at drinks that originate in Central and Latin America and also stuff that will go with Patrick Ryan's menu. Our food is really spicy and aggressive, so the cocktails can't overwhelm that. They need to complement it, and they also need to be refreshing while you're doing that. But like Zach said, I think that with a lot of new products coming on the market, with Kansas City kind of gaining more recognition across the nation, we're getting a lot of new stuff in. And so that's something I always look for, too, is just new things that I see coming out that I want to highlight. Also, just seasonality. Like this summer, we have a frozen drink on the menu, which I never thought we would do before. But it's hot, and people like blended pina coladas in the summer. So why not do something with that?
Okay, well, let's get to each of your drink assignments. So drink-wise, Caitlin, what song were you assigned for your inspiration?
Well, I was assigned the band Grand Marquise, and they are a Prohibition-style swing jazz band, which, in my opinion, was kind of a layup for a cocktail idea because I just was able to dig into Prohibition-style cocktails. But the track I chose was actually the first track off their latest release, which is called Bed of Nails.
So did you follow the band Grand Marquise before being assigned to make a drink inspired by them?
I had seen them perform 3 or 4 times. They're a really fun, lively band. They attract a lot of dancers, like a lot of swing dancers. This latest album release is a little bit more sultry and bluesy. The track I chose, I think, still represented the fun, upbeat swing aspect that I really like about them.
Well, we'll listen to Bed of Nails by Grand Marquise in just a second, but what do you want people to listen for what we do? What are some of the key aspects of the song that you latched onto when concocting your beverage?
Something that I really thought about, just having seen them before and knowing that they get lots of dancers, usually people that come to their sets are not drinking during the set. They're dancing, enjoying the music. So I just really wanted to create a cocktail that was Prohibition style, but also was really refreshing. So during set breaks, people could rush to the bar. It was boozy, but also thirst quenching.
So the cocktail you created was really for the people who come to the shows.
Exactly.
Okay, let's give a listen to Bed of Nails by Grand Marquise.
In the morning feeling like I'm dead, 'cause I'm sleeping on a bed of nails. Sleeping on a bed of nails. I'm sleeping on a bed of nails. I'm sleeping on a bed of nails. I built this bed one nail at a time. This bed won't nail a time. I nail for every time I hurt you, every time I lie. Now I'm sleeping on a bed of nails. Sleeping on a
hat everywhere I go. Got a 9-pound hammer everywhere I go. I carry this hammer everywhere I go. So I can drive these nails that torture my soul. Cause I'm sleeping on a bed of nails. Sleeping on a bed of nails. I'm sleeping on a bed of nails. I'm sleeping on a bed of nails. Why does the moon keep singing at the top of his voice? He keeps on shouting at the top of his voice. Moon keeps singing at the top of his voice. It keeps me awake. I ain't got no choice. I'm just sleeping on a bed of nails. Sleeping on a bed of nails. I'm sleeping on a bed of nails. I'm sleeping on a bed of nails.
I'm Gina Kaufman. That was Bed of Nails by the Grand Marquise. We played it on today's Central Standard because we're talking about an event that paired local bartenders with local bands to create a mixtape made of 12 songs and 12 original cocktails. Port Fonda bartender Caitlin Corcoran's drink was inspired by the song we just heard. And Caitlin, how did you get started?
My background is actually in coffee. I was a barista for 10 years. My first bartending job was actually at Port Fonda. I started out doing bar prep, juicing, making all the syrups, worked my way up to bar back, then bartender, and then I became bar manager last summer.
And then hearing this song, what was the first thing that came to your mind? You've mentioned that you wanted to create a prohibition-style drink when you heard this.
So we don't really do a ton of like classic riffs or classic cocktails like a lot of bars around town do. So I really dug in and researched different rum and cognac-based cocktails. I found a few. The one I settled with is Between the Sheets. It's really, really boozy. It's dry curacao, which is an orange liqueur, cognac and rum with a little bit of lemon juice. So I made it mine and a little bit of a twist and a little bit more refreshing by adding sparkling lemonade on top instead of just lemon juice. So it's still boozy, but effervescent.
Did the lyrics to that song influence you at all?
Definitely. I mean, you can feel the sultriness. I feel like listening to that song, you can just imagine like a tiny speakeasy full of smoke and heat, and people are just sweating and dancing, and just, I think the cocktail kind of works with that.
I hear a little bit of anxiety, like bed of nails. I'm sleeping on a bed of nails. Like someone could come in the door any minute and you could be in big trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's turn to Zach Snyder of Justice Drugstore in Smithville, the winner of last night's Mixtapes and Mixology event. Zach, what was your song?
My song was called Thunder Being Picnic by the Kansas City Bearfighters. And I actually drew tremendous inspiration from them as a band and from that song in particular, because like I was saying earlier, I tried to really define their sound, in which I settled on the best description being a mix of like a Hawaiian tiki bluegrass and like 1920s folk songs. So I tried to represent both genres as well as both cocktail genres, as like a classic cocktail and sort of a tiki cocktail at the same time.
Were the Kansas City Bearfighters a band that you had listened to before?
No, I had heard of them. I'd never seen them, and I'd never listened to any of their music. So as soon as I got them selected, I bought both of their albums that they had on iTunes and listened to them several times through, and finally settled on Thunder Being Picnic, mostly because of a particular line that jumped out at me, which is watermelon and potato salad. And I really dug that, and it gave me the idea of doing something that was light and fruity mixed with something sort of heavy and whatnot. Like, you know, those are two very common things that you would see at a picnic, but not something that you would ever think about eating at the same time. And so I liked the idea of that and trying to figure out a way to make that work.
Well, we're about to listen to this song that inspired your drink, and you mentioned some of the components of it that inspired you. Anything else you want people to listen for before we play it?
The other thing is there's some quarter note triplets that just kind of jump out of nowhere all the time, and I really liked that element of surprise.
Explain that for people who might not know what that means.
That's a complicated answer. It's you'll hear they're just large hits that the whole band does together, And that kind of comes at the end of every phrase, which is really neat. And they just sort of surprised me to start with, and I really liked that element of surprise, and I wanted my cocktail to show that as well.
Okay, let's give Thunder Being Picnic by the Kansas City Bear Fighters a listen. Fun. The most exciting part of hearing Thunder Being Picnic by the Kansas City Bear Fighters is something that our listeners didn't get to witness, which is Michael Byers fist pumping to the beat. Zach Snyder, the winner of last night's cocktail competition, made his drink based on that song. And Zach, how many times would you say you listened to that song?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know. I'd have to check my iTunes stats on that, but probably upwards of 30 to 40 times. Well, that's a short song, too, so it's relatively easy to do.
So you talked about some of the elements of the song that really inspired you. Can you kind of recap some of those in case people just tuned in?
Absolutely. So the things from this song that really inspired me were the general sound of it, which was, like I said before, kind of a Hawaiian tiki bluegrass and sort of an old school folk song. Some of the surprise elements of the music that the band plays and how they come together and play big hits together. And then also the some of the lyrics like watermelon and potato salad.
So how did you translate those concepts and those ideas into cocktail ingredients?
Sure, that's a good question. First, we had, you know, we needed to use the Pierre Ferrand portfolio because that was our sponsor for the event. So that meant any of the plantation rums, the Pierre Ferrand cognac, the dry curacao, or Citadel gin. And I really liked the idea of using gin. I love gin. I have a gin bottle tattooed on my arm. But rum is probably my favorite spirit, as odd as that sounds. And so I really wanted to try to do – I actually – you know, I had no idea, to be perfectly honest, when I first started. And when I was listening to that song and all of their music, I really had no idea where I was going to go with it until I thought, well, all right, I need to think really big picture here. And what do these – if I had to define their sound, what would it be? And when I settled on what I thought it would be, I was like, okay, well, that's easy. I can make a tiki cocktail and a classic cocktail at the same time. And then it was deciding what to do with those. And so, like I said, with watermelon potato salad, I thought the idea of using something light and fruity and something milk-based. So that's what led me to milk punch. And then I had the crazy notion to then use cognac in the milk punch and then pair the milk punch with rum.
How would you describe the resulting drink? We're going to try it later, but but if you were just describing the drink as totally separate from the song.
Sure. It tastes very tropical, but kind of smooth and sultry at the same time, and that's exactly what I wanted from it. So.
And Zach, you won this event. Can you explain what it means to win? How was it judged? How did that work?
Well, there were two sets of judging going on. There were three judges, which was Ryan Mabey, Doug Frost, and Brandon Cummins. And I think Jonathan Bender judged too, right, from Recommended Daily. So four judges, I misspoke. And then there was also like a fans voting thing that people just came and they were given a little token. They got to put it in a jar to pick their favorite.
Was the judging based on how closely the song, the drink corresponded to the song, or just which drink people liked the best?
Well, I think as far as people were concerned, they just voted for the drink that they liked the best. The judges, as far as I could tell, judged on your inspiration and how you translated that into a cocktail, and as well as the deliciousness of your cocktail.
Well, we are kind of talking here about mixing up the senses, the sense of taste and the sense of sound. Is this something either of you have done before?
Yeah, absolutely. I have a very bizarre thing going on in my brain most of the time called synesthesia, where my senses are kind of crossed. So very often for me, I taste colors and smell sounds and things like that. It's weird. But
how does that influence you as a bartender to have synesthesia?
Really well. You know, it actually plays pretty strongly for this profession, only because I can come up with some really bizarre things that most people would have never thought, because it makes sense. I'm like, oh, well, these colors work together, so the tastes will work together.
When was the last time you tasted a color?
Oh, gosh, probably a couple of days ago, I'd imagine.
Can you describe that experience for us?
Sure. It's sometimes tasting, I taste more sounds than I do colors, which is weird, but and other times I think it happens more the other way around. When I taste something, I can only describe it as a color rather than as a flavor, which is sometimes difficult to work with as far as people that work with me, because I'm like, well, this tastes like green, dude. I don't know what I don't know how else to tell you.
And you need to like tell servers, like, okay, so when you're talking to customers, you can maybe tell them this is a very yellow beverage.
yeah. And like, I know it looks red, but it tastes like yellow, I swear.
Caitlin, what about you? Is this translation of one sense into another something you've worked with before?
Not in this capacity, but I think especially just with sound, like chicharrones that come right out of the fryer, how crispy and crackling they still are. Like, I think that sense I play with a little bit, just food-wise, not necessarily with beverages.
How do you think the experience of having this challenge to create a drink based on a specific song is going to affect your work creating cocktails down the road?
I think it's a good way, especially if you're in a rut with a new menu planning, like figuring out some new cocktails instead of just focusing on flavors, like I said, most of us do, you know, turn to a different inspiration, put on a new record, and then start thinking about the drinks that you're wanting to create.
Well, listeners, we want to know if you have ever been inspired to create an original cocktail. What was your inspiration? Call in to share your recipes, and we'll be hearing from you and more from Caitlin and Zach after this break. Central Standard will be back shortly, and we will want to hear from you. 816-235-2888. That number again is 816-235-2888. I'll be right back. Good morning and welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Gina Kaufman here with Zach Snyder and Caitlin Corcoran. Zach's a bartender at Justice Drugstore and Caitlin at Port Fonda. We're talking about an event that they participated in last night where they created and unveiled, I should say, cocktails they created based on songs by local bands. And we've heard the songs, we've talked to them about their creations, and right now they are mixing their drinks so that we can taste them. But listeners, we also want to hear from you about the original drinks you've created, what inspired them, and share your recipes. 816-235-2888, or you can tweet us at KCURCST. So I'd like to turn back to Zach right now. And Zach, what are you doing?
I am mixing together my cocktail called Thunder Being Picnic, and I went ahead and named the cocktail after the song that I chose just because it was already such a goofy name, and I really enjoyed it. So I'm taking a milk punch that I made, which is it's an old school cocktail. It's really interesting.
You don't just have ingredients. You have some special tools that are quite pretty. Could you talk about those,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm stirring inside of a straight-sided mixing glass, which makes it really easy to stir, as you see. And I have a very long copper spoon and a matching copper julep strainer. So, and then a fancy looking jigger.
A fancy looking jigger.
Yeah.
Okay. And Caitlin, you have already poured everything. Tell us what you've got in front of you and tell us the name of your drink.
The name of my drink is Between the Sheets on a Bed of Nails. For events like this,
a very provocative name.
Yeah. Yeah. For events like this, I like to usually batch everything together and dilute it. So I figure out the ratio of if I was going to shake it and add that much water. So that way when I go to do the event, I can just pour. It's really easy. My batch has Pierre-Ferrand Dry Curaçao, Pierre-Ferrand Cognac, and Plantation 3-Year Rum. It has, I'm topping it with a sparkling lemonade that I made with fresh lemon juice and a lemon simple syrup made with lemon zest and lemon balm and lemon verbena.
Well, okay, so since Zach's still mixing and pouring and doing all kinds of things that I'm not sure what verb I would use to describe, I will stick with Caitlin for a moment and we'll taste the Between the Sheets on a Bed of Nails. I'm joined for this tasting by Christina Leffring, our intern, and we're just going to take a little tiny sip because it's still early and we are at work. So Caitlin is handing us the drinks. Christina, why don't you go ahead and start?
Okay.
Just a little sip.
That's really refreshing. Like, it's got that nice, like, lemony-ness to it. It's very summery and very, yeah, like, light.
I would agree that it's light, and it's pretty sweet. Caitlin, do you like to make sweet drinks?
Not usually. I mean, most of the stuff I do is pretty, like, citrus-forward, I would say.
That makes sense, being in a Central American eating establishment at Port Fonda.
Exactly.
And how are things coming along for you there, Zach?
Oh, I'm ready.
Okay, so let's taste Zach's beverage.
Sure.
And then we'll maybe get some advice for listeners who might want to try this at home if they dare, although in Zach's case they might need some tools.
Yeah, and I mean, really, I did make this at home, but... you know, for the average person, I could imagine this might be slightly difficult just because of the milk punch that I made.
You know, this might sound surprising, but I feel like, okay, if I were going to describe this using sounds, I would say that this is the low notes, and Caitlin's drink was more the high notes.
Really? Mm. Interesting. Well, that's probably due to the mouthfeel of that. And that was...
Explain what you mean by that.
Sure, yeah. Literally how it feels in your mouth. I mean, it's relatively...
Good explanation.
Yeah, it's relatively self-explanatory. But the... And we achieve different mouthfeels by using different techniques. And that was one reason I wanted to do a milk punch to give that slightly more sultry feel. And then I stirred the cocktail rather than shaking it. So I didn't fluff it at all, but I still diluted it and kept a really silky feel to it.
Christina, what did you taste there?
I would agree with your low notes analogy there. It's much like richer and much more kind of sultry, I guess. Mm-hmm.
It looks like a sprig of rosemary just sitting right in the glass there.
Yes, ma'am.
Talk about that.
Sure. You know, so much of your taste is smell. And so I like to think about all aspects of a cocktail like as it almost telling a story from what it smells like to, for first, what it looks like, you know, visually, because just like with food, you drink with your eyes before you are able to actually taste anything. So as long as it's got to look good. Which, you know, fresh rosemary always looks beautiful, especially with the color of that cocktail kind of being an opaque, off-white yellow color, and then the green playing off that looks really nice. So visually it looks good, and then initially when you smell it, you get a great smell of rosemary, and then the rest of the cocktail kind of playing into that, then the mouthfeel and the overall taste, and then the aftertaste. So it's aspects of the cocktail that I take into consideration throughout the whole experience.
And since the visual aspect of the rosemary is important, we have provided the plastic cups from which we are drinking right now. Normally, what would you suggest serving this in to tell the story more completely?
Sure, I would serve it in a coupe, like a sort of a, you know, some sort of short martini glass of some kind.
And what about you, Caitlin? How are the visuals tied into the drink that you've created here? It's, I would say, a light melon color, cantaloupe in particular. Yeah, talk about
it. I would probably serve it in a Collins glass with a lemon wheel on the side and a straw.
What does a Collins glass look like for those of us whose
It's like a skinny, like tall, about the size of a pint glass, but a lot skinnier.
And what story does that tell?
I mean, usually with Collins glasses, you put things that have soda or something on top that's sparkling so that it can be on top and really you drink with a straw. So you get all the flavors in one.
Christina, intern Christina Leffring, do you have other observations from these drinks that you'd like to share before we thank you for your noble services this morning?
Oh, yeah. It's really difficult to come and sample cocktails. Life is hard. I'm actually really surprised because with some of the ingredients in this, they're a little stronger than what I normally drink. I'm usually kind of a gin person myself, yeah. But it's really nice actually.
And you're describing
how light it is.
The Thunder being
picnic, yeah.
Thunder being picnic.
That was what I wanted to do, was keep that kind of sultry mouthfeel and heavy aspect of the cocktail, but have light, bright, fun, tropical sort of ingredients. So, like I was saying before, to try to represent both genres at the same time.
And any further observations about Between the Sheets on a Bed of Nails?
I mean, this is something that I could easily see myself drinking on a night out. and without it like knocking you out, you know, you can... I like that you put it together for like a dance thing because it's refreshing, it's light, it's fun, and it's not too heavy.
Thank you so much, Christina. And if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Central Standard on KCUR 89.3 FM. I'm Gina Kaufman talking with Zach Snyder and Caitlin Corcoran from respectively Justice Drugstore and Port Fonda. And we are talking about the cocktails they've invented for an event recently, but we've just heard about them a little bit, and I wonder if you guys have advice for people making cocktails at home this summer. It's a good time for that activity.
Sure. I would say, you know, there's a lot of fun things that you can do really easily at home to make really fantastic cocktails. First and foremost, always buy good ingredients. Always buy good booze and buy good mixers if that's what you're into. If you're going to buy tonic water, don't skimp on it. Buy good tonic water.
You know? How do you define good ingredients?
You know, as obvious as it sounds, price is a big part of it. You know, really, like so many things in life, you do get what you pay for most of the time. There is, of course, exceptions to the rule. There's really expensive booze that kind of sucks, and there's really cheap booze that's really good, just depending upon marketing and all of that kind of thing.
But as far as buying other ingredients, I think that a lot of people might be surprised that you're recommending buying the best ones to put in a cocktail, because so many people might assume, I'm just about to drench this in alcohol. Like, why bother getting the very best sprig of rosemary? Why bother getting the best piece of produce to muddle?
Sure. Well, life's too short to drink cheap, you know? So you may as well enjoy it. Even if you're making it at home for yourself, why not enjoy your cocktails, you know?
And Caitlin, what about you? What's your advice to the home, to the weekend cocktail warrior?
I think really turn to your fridge and like see what you have available. Don't think too hard about it. But if you have peaches, especially right now, like if you have peaches that are about to go bad, like make them into a syrup or just add some sugar and wine and like make a sangria out of it. You know, it's not that hard what we do. It's just basically doing a nice balance of sweet, bitter, sour. And so just think about the ratios that you're doing and, you know, taste it as you're doing it. And if you don't think it's sweet enough, add more sugar. If you don't think it's tart enough, add citrus like lemon, lime, or citric acid is a really nice use.
And where do you get the sour?
Citric acid or lemon juice, like I was saying. Also, something that I think people forget to use in cocktails, especially at home, is salt. Salt really helps bring flavors alive. So don't be afraid to put a pinch in and like see what happens.
You talked about making a syrup, and that is something that is actually, it is surprisingly easy to do, but it sounds like maybe an exotic skill. Like, I just made a simple syrup. Can you tell people how to make a simple syrup?
Well, first off, the name is simple syrup. So it's literally equal parts. You don't even need like a proper measuring cup, just equal parts sugar and water. Put them together. You don't even have to put them over heat. It will combine over time if you have it, but if you need it quickly, add a little bit of heat until it dissolves and let it cool. And then like I was saying with the produce, just throw some peaches in there, make a peach syrup or cherries or, you know, whatever you have lying around that's about to go bad. That's the best way to use produce that maybe not wouldn't be edible like to you as like a salad or as a garnish, but like for a syrup, it works really nicely.
And Zach, I'd like to turn back to something you said earlier. You told us that you have a bottle of gin tattooed on your arm. Can you tell us the story of that?
Sure. Well, I started with the other side of my arm, that it's a skull in a cocktail coupe. with a little banner that says Death Before Sour Mix. And I really liked that. So just to fill out the front side of my arm, I wanted a really classic look because it's all in black and gray and heavy line work. So I wanted a bitters bottle, a cocktail shaker, and some sort of old school booze bottle. And the coolest bottles that I could find, really, as far as images on the internet went, were great old gin bottles with just really cool labels and whatnot. So, and I love gin. So I went with the gin bottle.
This is a commitment to profession that is unusual. I mean, what is your relationship with making drinks? It sounds like something beyond a paycheck.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, it's really what I enjoy doing, and it's not even so much the idea of making cocktails that I'm in love with as far as my professional goes. It's really just the service side of things. You know, I really like to be there for people and make their experience the best that it can be.
And you talked earlier about having synesthesia, which is where you experience senses in a very combined kind of way. Mm-hmm. Is the sensory aspect of working with food and ingredients a part of this for you? Because it does sound like you have a unique relationship with the sensory experience.
Yeah. You know, that definitely plays into my choice to continue to work in the food industry, because I feel like in some ways I have an advantage and I can do things that are really fun and interesting, and sometimes they don't work out, you know, because it makes sense in my head, but it doesn't make sense on your palate. So there's, you know, strikes and gutters as far as that's concerned.
Caitlin, what is the sensory component of working with food and in the food industry, specifically with cocktails, mean to you?
Well, especially being at Port Fonda, like, our food and our cocktails are a little bit outside of most people's wheelhouses or boxes. So it's really great to bring someone in who you can tell right off the bat is not into what we're doing or really has deer eyes in the headlights, and kind of walk them through it and find what really fits for them and what they're wanting to enjoy that day. Like, talk them through each step of the process and then have them a great experience, a great meal, and then hopefully they come back and have another one and aren't so tepid the next time or intimidated.
Yeah, and when you next approach making a drink, what do you think are some of the things that are going on in your mind right now that you're thinking about that might be inspirations coming up?
Well, I'm already thinking about fall menu and just what we can do with that. Like I said, we are doing a frozen drink right now that's summer. And so I'm trying to figure out a way, since we tend to have Indian summers in Kansas City, figure out a way to do fall flavors, but in a blended drink as well. So I'm thinking a lot about our cajeta, which is a goat's milk caramel and apple cider mixture. So kind of like a caramel apple riff cocktail. I want to do something with sweet potatoes, I think.
Sweet potatoes in a beverage, that might sound unusual to a lot of people.
It works really well with mezcal, actually. I did a cocktail with it 2 years ago, and it turned out really nicely. So figuring out a way to get that into a cocktail. And then also, since I come from a coffee background, and we are lucky enough to use Oddly Correct at Port Fonda, I always like to try and figure out a way to use coffee in a cocktail as well.
I think that's something they call the speedball.
Exactly. A little bit of up, a little bit of down.
Yeah.
Well, and Zach, what about you? What are some of the things that you're thinking about in terms of inspiration right now? What's percolating for you?
Yeah, it's a nice coffee reference there. You know, at Justice, we're an incredibly seasonal restaurant. And we use lots of primarily local, and if not grown on site or at one of our farms that provide for us. So I use a lot of things as they're become available to me. We grow tons of herbs out on the patio. So right now that's been my general focus, is to utilize everything that I have at my disposal.
So the inspiration right now tends to be ingredient based.
Yeah, absolutely. But I draw inspiration from all kinds of things. Sometimes I'm just driving up to work and hear a song or think of a cocktail that I had a few years ago or an experience that I had, and I'm like, man, I'd really like to be able to translate that into a cocktail. What could I do to possibly do that? And so I'll work on it sometimes for weeks or months.
If you were translating the experience of being on Central Standard into a cocktail, what would some of your initial thoughts be about that process?
Oh, man. I don't know. I'd definitely take the studio into consideration, the colors of it.
Describe those colors for our listeners.
Sure, yeah. I mean, there's a really muted blue-gray And then there's a really bright CS in the corner with a bunch of stripes. So I'd like to take that pop of color and give a pop of color to the cocktail. Maybe layer something because of the stripes would be really cool.
What do you mean by layer something when you're talking cocktails?
Sure. That's where you would layer different ingredients of the cocktail on top of one another so that from the side they would appear, you know, in different colors or textures.
Caitlin, what would be your first thoughts about a Central Standard cocktail?
Since we had to get here a little bit early, I would probably do something with coffee to kind of wake us up a little bit. Also, I'd probably talk to you guys and see what you want, like what kind of flavors you're thinking of. And yeah, there's a water cooler in there.
This cocktail will be coffee and water.
Coffee and water, definitely.
And back to the music. I mean, you both work in places that create ambiance. Mm-hmm. What's your typical relationship with music?
Usually I'm talking over Drake very loudly, especially on a Friday or Saturday. So we definitely have I have a really close relationship with hip hop, I think, right now is basically where all my music comes from.
For me, you know, at work we play some sort of background like electronic kind of stuff. But as far as the rest of the music goes, I listen to all kinds of genres.
Well, thanks so much to Zach Snyder and Caitlin Corcoran for joining me today. It's been so fun talking music and mixology with both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And now, as the World Cup draws to a close, so does the KCUR World Cup series. Our reporters have been watching World Cup matches with communities from around the globe gathering right here in town to watch those matches. With only Germany and Argentina left standing, we thought we'd take a moment to play some of the songs and chants recorded at those watch parties we visited. The first song you hear might sound extra familiar.
Viva Korean, something like that.
Eu sou brasileiro, com muito orgulho, com muito amor. My daughter likes to sing that song.
Eu sou brasileiro, com muito orgulho, com muito amor. Canta bem forte!
The World Cup, we say, siamo i campioni del mondo, po po ro, po 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 ro. Siamo i campioni del mondo. That means we are the world champion.
That Italian soccer chant was set to the tune of the White Stripes' Seven Nation Army. I know, we were surprised too. Before that, you heard songs from the USA, Ghana, South Korea, Brazil, and Italy, all sung by people who have made Kansas City home. That's it for today's show. tune in for a history of Kemper Arena with the History Series host Monroe Dodd tomorrow. Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton and Sylvia Maria Gross, along with Matt Hodap and Christina Leffring. Linda Scher runs the board for us every day, and special thanks to Suzanne Hogan for today's soccer chant medley. If you want to follow us on Twitter, our handle is at KCURCST, and you can listen to past conversations you've heard on this show at kcur.org/Central Standard. That's it for today's many great conversations. I want to thank all of the guests who have joined us throughout the hour. I'm Gina Kaufman. Stick around for Up to Date with Steve Kraske coming up next.
Ci pensa materazzi a pareggiare, sì, 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 si va impauriti al supremo.